when to click, or I can kind of maybe assume when you're done with the slide, but just in case, like, you always let me know and I'll go ahead and do that for you.
Okay, hold on.
I'm ready to go when you guys are ready to go, Sheikh. I think Ibrahim's running a little bit late, so I don't know if you want to wait for him.
Yeah, virtual background thing's not working. Ah, let me see if I could. Oh well, we're gonna use this background for now.
Ibrahim, you need to start sending the tester. You haven't started live call.
Oh yeah, I haven't started. I just wanted
Once I guess, once I
to confirm. Whenever you're ready, we can start
you give me the permission,
broadcast.
share screen permission rights.
Yeah, let me make you co-host. One second.
All right, bring me here. All right.
Yeah, I'm here. Hasn't started yet, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
We should be able to share your screen, Shay.
Let me just check that. What? Oh, my, is advanced? Is advanced and basic? Oh, no, it doesn't give me the PowerPoint slides. That's weird.
How about now?
Share computer sound. No, it just says screen or iPhone, iPad. This is weird. I guess I could share my whole screen and I could put it up. You can't select like a certain program, I guess.
Oh, I see that too on mine.
If you want, I can share my screen as well.
If you want to do yours, so Ibrahim, will the people be able to see him?
I'm going to broadcast it to YouTube and Facebook now, inshallah.
Okay, that's cool. Let me know when to start. All righty. Ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready when you guys are.
Okay. One second, Sheikh. Yeah, Sheikh, go ahead.
All right. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, everyone's doing well on this Friday night. MYG, Muslim Youth Group of ISOC, is back with you again on a Friday program here, alhamdulillah. We had a little time off. Alhamdulillah, we had new elections for our MYG board, and we have a new crew on our board, alhamdulillah, and they're doing great work. So this is one of the first programs we're putting on. And so, alhamdulillah, we have this topic today on the media epidemic, real versus fake news. And this is a topic I think all of you guys have seen this term, fake news, all through the media. Our president loves using that term anytime he wants to, push away a fact away from him or something like that. You know, he could say that's fake news, et cetera. But it's also a big issue because we have, you know, Facebook posts, you know, WhatsApp messages sometimes, and you're wondering if that's true, that image true, was that, you know, of that location or was that somewhere else? And so it becomes very problematic. And especially with the elections coming up, you kind of want to vote on the real concerns are with the candidates or the different propositions are going to be coming up. And so we want to try to see how do we decipher this in a world where there's so much information. And so alhamdulillah, we're happy to have a beautiful program tonight for all of you out there. We have our newly elected board member, Brother Ibrahim Ahmed, that's here also, alhamdulillah. And he's going to go ahead and explain the program a little bit more on our speaker that we have for tonight.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. My name is Ibrahim Ahmed, and I'm on the board of 2020 to 2021. Yay. And I'm very excited and very happy to serve you guys. And if you guys have any questions or any comments, you can always reach out to us on our socials. And for today's event, our
Ibrahim, I think your mic went out. There you go.
Oh,
very good.
Okay. Our first event of this year is the real versus fake news, which I think is really important now because the elections are going on and there's a lot of fake news mixed with a lot of real news out there. So it's really important to know what is real, what is fake, And since we're electing our leaders right now, it's really important for those who can vote to know what is real and what is fake. And for today, and who better to lead this than our special guest, Brother Mustafa Nizam. Brother Mustafa Nizam is the Valley Outreach Manager for CARE LA. He has been an integral part of the Muslim community in San Diego, serving on the board of pillars of the community and North County Islamic Foundation. Brother Mustafa has spent the past 10 years organizing the Muslim community in civic engagement and advocacy work on homelessness, civil rights, and criminal justice reform through education and outreach. Brother Mustafa holds a bachelor's degree in business administration from Ashford University and is experienced with running political fundraising campaigns as well as working with interfaith groups and allies to achieve shared goals of justice, peace, and equality. Brother Mustafa, you have the mic now.
JazakAllah khair, Brother Ibrahim and Sheikh Shahid. And thank you so much for inviting me tonight. So I'm going to be talking tonight about something that's really prevalent in our society, you know, especially since the 2016 election. Something, a name that's come up is fake news. Before the 2016 election, we've rarely heard that term, but it's become like a household name. And what I want to do is to talk a little bit about the difference between real and fake news. And I'll start my presentation now. Inshallah, you guys can hear me, hear me well?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So I'd like to start out with the a famous quote from our brother Malcolm X. The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and the guilty innocent. That was power because they control the minds of the masses. And the quote goes on, but the message of Malcolm X is that in his time, the media was newspapers, radio, and TV, right? Today we have mass media that's at our fingertips. And in those days, they had to actually go out and find that, find the information, or they'd have to turn on the TV or the radio, flip the channels, whatever. Here it's at our fingertips. And what happens now is the information comes to us without us even wanting it or thinking about it, right? So basically, it's all a system of where we could even be talking to our friend about something, and you'll all of a sudden see an ad on your Facebook page, right? So I was talking the other day with my wife about some type of fruit plant that I wanted to plant in the backyard, and all of a sudden I turn on my Facebook page, maybe like a few minutes later, and there's ads at local Home Depot and local nurseries where I live that's trying to sell me a peach tree. So it's pretty powerful how they track us through this social media. So the 2016 election, as I mentioned earlier, the term fake news took on a new life during the 2016 election. Trump used it to intimidate every news source that challenged his rhetoric. So even when he made statements that were recorded, and there's YouTube videos of it, of him saying some type of statement from years ago, and then all of a sudden he'll contradict that statement and they'll challenge him that, you know, you already said this. Like one of the statements he made was that there was Muslims dancing on top of buildings or outside in New Jersey after 9/11, right? So that's something that he contradicted himself at, because originally what he was talking about is he was saying that there was something bigger going on than people flying, foreigners flying their planes into buildings. There was something bigger going on. But then he just caved into his base and he just told them whatever they wanted to hear, whether it was true or not. So whenever he was challenged by a reporter or anyone else, he would say, he would scream, wrong, fake news, and he would totally try to intimidate them. A lot of times he's intimidated the women reporters and also the male reporters, but mostly he would try to humiliate them and try to show his base that what they're saying is not true. So whatever they say, whether it's about his opponent or anyone else, the people who follow him and who are his supporters will just see that as it's just false, it doesn't happen, or whatever. So there's a recent survey that I got. When I was just on my email, it said it didn't all of a sudden show that it was a Trump survey, but once you answer a few questions, it does go to a page for Trump, a campaign page for Trump, where it asks you for a donation. One of the questions they ask, do you rely on the mainstream media as your news source? And I do use the word, the initials MSM for mainstream media. So if you see this, that term in the slide, that's what it means. So do you rely on the mainstream media as your news source? And is CNN or NBC manipulating you with lies about President Trump? Because those are the two news sources that really challenge Trump. I don't always go with CNN or NBC. I would say I don't most of the time, but it's easy to fact check those sites rather than fact checking someone like something like Fox News or right wing media that's really circulating now. So, and then do you believe the President Trump is a victim of fake news? So this is something that the campaign was centered around, making Trump the victim, us versus them. And, you know, let's change this, let's drain the swamp, when in actuality, the swamp was actually filled. So the next is, I'm representing CARE tonight, the C3 side of CARE. If you don't know, a lot of people don't know the difference between what a 501c3 is and a 501c4. I'm representing the C3 side, and this is a code from the IRS, which designates nonprofits with a C3 code, where we could talk about issues and we could also, but it has to be nonpartisan, right? So we have to be fair in what we say. We can't push for a single candidate. We can't push for a single issue. We have to be clear that we're just doing this for education. So I do want to bring up, when Bernie Sanders in 2016 was running against Hillary Clinton, he would also challenge her, and his supporters would also challenge her on some of the things she said and some of the things she's done, you know, her votes while she was Secretary of State. So basically, anytime we were challenged, or Bernie supporters were challenged, or Bernie was challenged, they would label us as Russian bots. And that was just to discredit, saying that we're just some kind of foreign news coming out from Russia, we're not real, and things like that. And they would do that all the time. So anytime we would speak up for Medicare for All, and they would use the same type of term, fake news, just like Trump did. So the purpose of the fake news was really to discredit information quickly and create doubt in the viewer or reader's mind. So how do we know whether the news is real or fake? So my recommendation is to seek confirmation from a reliable news source. And one good news source, because we have such access to social media, we got Twitter, and we have live streams as well, where we can see news from the ground from regular people like you and I in a different country. You know, we can see them in real time, but we can see their whatever they're typing out, whatever they're sharing with their videos and pictures. So the example of this was the in Gaza in 2014, when Israel attacked Gaza, they started a really brutal bombing campaign, which was a totally one-sided campaign where there are F-16 fighter jets, tanks, latest weaponry, everything, the latest in everything, bombing a country who is occupied and really have no rights of their own, not at all. So they were, what they did is they used this mainstream media to label the Gazans as terrorists, right? The victims as terrorists, and they made themselves out to be the victims, right? And then what they did is use the mainstream media, which they control, and they would spread that they're Israel's acting on the defensive, and whatever they're doing, however they're responding, the Gazans deserve it, right? And we always hear the term Hamas is doing this. They're sending fire balloons and fire kites and things like that. You know, they're totally against that. But then they're also against a peaceful process like BDS, right? That doesn't cause any harm to anyone except to expose what's happening in the occupied territories. So this is one of the news feeds from a young lady that young sister that lives in Gaza that she's talking about the bombing heavily in my area. And this is the worst. She's talking about how it's the worst night of the war. There's also news out there where people are taking screenshots when the Israeli military, the Israeli offensive force would send them a text message at 3 o'clock in the morning saying that you have 12 minutes to get out of your house. So they're basically saying, you know, grab your kids, grab everything you can and get out of the house because we're about to bomb you. We're about to bomb your apartment building or your home. So please, not please, but you need to get out. And then they're just using the media to show that they are the humane military. So there's dangers of spreading fake news, right? We have, I don't know if anyone's heard the term Pizzagate, and that was in 2016. So what was happening during Trump's campaign when he was fighting with Hillary, when he was trying to discredit Secretary Clinton, there was something called Pizzagate where it involved a pizza place in Washington, D.C. called Comet Pizza. And how that started is that Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, who frequented Comet Pizza often, he called the owner of Comet Pizza and said, listen, I want to do a campaign fundraiser for Secretary Clinton, you know, for her presidential run. Can you help? So somehow the right-wing media got in touch, got wind of this, and they started spreading fake news, like they're using this pizza place for child trafficking, right? And once it gets into the media, it just spreads like a wildfire. It goes viral, right? We've heard the term viral. And then what happened was Michael Flynn actually posted the same thing. He shared that post on his Twitter account, and then it just spread millions and millions of people. And then up to the point where it inspired a guy named Ryan Jaselskis. And what he did is he actually walked in armed into the pizza place, pointed his rifle at one of the employees. The gun jammed, and the employee was able to get away, and the person was able to be apprehended and arrested. So, but they were just lucky that this guy just didn't go in and just opened fire, because he believed all the fake news that he heard, that this pizza place, who was a mom and pop pizza place, that they were trafficking children. Now, today, we see conspiracy around the coronavirus. Even in our own community, we've heard for the last 6 months that the virus is fake and they're using it to, close our churches and masjids so we don't go there anymore. They're out to get us. They want to, somehow spy on us by injecting us with some medicine or anything like that. It's just outrageous. And, you know, we've had that in our community. And now the result is 180,000 people plus have died, right? So we have these, these people saying that masks are harmful. They're more harmful than they are good. So you have a lot of people out there with masks that are just no social distancing, that are really spreading this disease. I mean, if we were locked down for 4 months with everybody wearing a mask, everyone being careful, like the state wanted us to do, this coronavirus would be behind us. But unfortunately, it's well in front of us. So there's also the 5G conspiracy, if you guys have heard that. So basically they're saying that the 5G towers are causing this type of virus, or it's causing this type of sickness. But, what are they going to say? Like with the Spanish flu in 1918, where, so many people died, so many thousands of people died. There was no 1G. There was no 5G. I mean, there was no 5G. There wasn't even a 1G or any kind of concept of that, right? So it's kind of they're just spreading nonsense, right? And if they wanted to implant chips in us through a vaccine, know that the chips to be able to follow us is already there. It's called a cell phone, right? Our cell phones can actually track all the steps that we take even without the SIM card. So if you were to take out your SIM card and you traveled from San Diego to LA, and then you went to Orange County, you went to the beach, you come home and check your Google or Facebook will know exactly where you were, right? And then they'll be able to use that information to study your patterns and study your habits and be able to sell that information for a good amount of money. So so besides resulting in deaths and things like that, it also is backbiting, right? As Muslims, we got to be very, very careful about sharing information that is not substantiated or checked, right? So there was a story about a year ago about a Saudi sheikh the source said that they donated $60 million or $6 million to Israel, like each year he does that. And then that story was shared by Muslims and non-Muslims, and basically they were just bashing the guy, and it was just going on and on. Then he had to come out with a public statement and say it was Prince Alawid. Remember the brother that owned the yacht? And actually Trump bought that yacht for I don't know how much it was, but it basically was Prince Alawid that had to come out in public and say that, no, I've never donated a penny to Israel. You know, I don't do this. So that's something that, you know, we feel bad about afterwards, right? We really, as Muslims, we feel guilty, or at least we should. So the next thing I wanted to bring up is a company called Cambridge Analytica. Many of you may have heard about Cambridge Analytica. This is a new company to me. I wasn't really familiar with them, but I was told about this by a few people that I talked to before I was doing a little bit of research on this topic. So this is a British political consulting firm that was founded in 2013. Basically what they do is they create campaigns for clients, and then they target Facebook users to support that campaign, right? So basically they'll go from country to country. They'll go to countries like, they tried this and succeeded in several countries, including Malaysia, India, Trinidad and Tobago, Ghana, Ethiopia, Libya, Yemen, and even Syria. So basically what they do is they'll create a type of campaign that they'll target youth voters, right? So youth voters are called, are voters that don't usually vote. They're not regular voters. They're not high propensity voters. They're called low propensity voters, right? So it's voters who have voted less than two times in the last four elections. So they'll target those voters. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to, Trinidad is a place where they either want an African descent prime minister, or they want an Indian descent prime minister, right? Because there's a large East Indian population in the Caribbean. So that prime minister was Kamala Prasad Bissessar. So she actually won that election. What they did is they did this campaign. They targeted the youth, and the youth, you know, they just poured in the information that, you know, we need to, the message was, we need to forget about the government. We need to bring up a party that's for the people and by the people. So we don't want it to be, you know, the corruption to happen in the government. We need to elect our own, and we need to elect someone who will work for us. So what happened was this campaign, Cambridge Analytica, they knew that young Trinidadians of African descent don't normally vote, but the people of Indian descent, they vote. So what happens was they basically do whatever their parents say, right? There's a lot of Desis on this call, and you know, if your parents tell you something, you know, what to do when you're young, you're most likely going to do it, right? So they actually targeted these people, and Ms. Kamala, she won by 6% of the vote. And as we know, you only need 1%. You need just one more vote than the other person to win. But 6% was quite the victory for an underdog, right? And the way they did that is they went after the youth vote. So when it was proven successful in 2013 in all those countries, that was a trial for 2016 for the Brexit campaign in the UK and the Trump campaign. So in 2016, both those campaigns won. And what they did the message of, in the US, they did it as America first. You know, we don't want, we're against people of color. We need to raise the white voice again. We're being taken, the white race is gonna be extinguished by the people of color. So let's get up and let's fight and let's elect Trump. And they did the same thing with the Brexit. We don't want immigrants. We don't need any more immigrants coming into our country, whether they're from Africa, Asia, or from Eastern Europe. They just don't want any more immigrants. So we're gonna bow out of the European Union, and we're gonna, you know, just isolate ourselves with that. So what it's done is, it's over the last 5 years, it's really created a fascist environment, and that we see that right in front of our eyes right now. So they collected data from a group called My Digital Life. So the way they collected the data is that they would target users of this My Digital Life. It ranges into the, you know, maybe a couple hundred thousand users who belong to this group. But what happens is they also get the information from members of that group, all their friends on Facebook, right? So pretty soon they have a database of 84 million, and they started really campaigning for to all these people. 84 million, they started just, it didn't matter who it was, they started spending $100 million every day to advertise and manipulate people for Trump's campaign. And that was in 2016. They focused on five states. So they're the five swing states. There's Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, and West Virginia. And basically what they did is they really targeted the social media through Facebook in these states. And in the end, even though Trump lost the popular vote, he won by 70,000 votes in these states. So what happens in these states is that it doesn't go by the Electoral College. They do have an Electoral College, but it's by the popular vote. So whichever candidate gets a popular vote, they get all the electors. And that's how Trump was able to win, because he won in only these three states, Florida, Michigan, and Ohio. So as I said before, they spend $1 million per day on Facebook ads. And what happened was, because they violated FCC code, which says that they whenever someone joined that group, they would get a message saying that they're going to share the information. But what wasn't given permission of is to share the information of the all the friends, like the thousands or hundreds of friends someone has in that group. There was nothing to say that they have to share the information, so they got sued. And once they got sued, they're under federal investigation under both countries. And then there was a video that came up of the CEO of Cambridge Analytica that actually admitted to everything that they did and how they manipulated everything to get Trump to win, and also to get to win the Brexit. So finally, the company filed bankruptcy in 2018, and it dissolved. So when you hear stories about how Russian interference in the election, it really wasn't. It was this company, Cambridge Analytica, that was 100% involved in manipulating the 2016 election. So how does the fake news affect the California election? So I wanted to take a little advantage of this talk here and talk about Proposition 15. It's called Schools and Communities First. And basically, the way people get us to not vote and stay at home, we have a lot of people who are even not registered to vote, but even those who are registered to vote, they think their vote doesn't count, and they really think their voice can't do anything. So one of the ways they do this is the ruling parties do this, like the Democrats or Republicans, and those who want to stay in power, they say, you know, no talk about politics at work. Well, that just makes people ignorant, right? And that makes people just not want to go out and do anything. So they don't know. So when this proposition came out, Our Schools and Communities First, people don't realize how important this proposition is. So they'll probably never go down ballot and vote for it. So basically, I just want to educate a real quick on this, is Our Schools and Communities First will bring in $12 billion every year to our counties. So LA County is the largest. They'll probably get the lion's share of about 300 million dollars every year for the schools and communities. So this will go towards the schools, communities, safe safety nets such as like homeless shelters, food programs, after school programs, and things like that. So this will really, it'll go into fixing our roads. We see so many roads around here with potholes in it, sidewalks that are not even straight. So this money will go in, but you got to think, how are we going to get this money, right? Are they going to raise our taxes? Are they going to raise our property taxes? And that's what the fake news wants you to believe. They want you to believe that it will raise your property taxes and it will raise state taxes, right? But it's not going to do that. What this does, it makes it fair, right? So back in 1978, there was something called Prop 13. And what Prop 13 did is it assured that property owners that they'll only have to pay taxes on the price that they bought the house for, right? So the house doubles or triples or even, you know, quadruples, like we've seen over the years, they'll still be paying the taxes on what they bought it for, right? And the only time it'll get reassessed is if they sell the house and then the new owner will pay the new taxes. Well, what happened was these multi-billion dollar corporations like Disney and Kaiser Permanente and Chevron, they bought those properties back in 1978. And there was a loophole in Prop 13 that also applies to them. So get this. If they bought the, let's say Disneyland, they bought their property in Anaheim for, let's say, $20 million in 1978. Now that property is worth $250 million. Well, guess what? They're still paying taxes on $20 million, right? So what we're doing is make it fair, and this will target only businesses that are commercial properties, only commercial properties, nothing to do with residential properties. There's protections written right into the proposition to protect residential property. So what this does is it reassesses the value of that property, and they'll start having to pay taxes on $250 million now. And that's where the $12 billion is gonna get generated. It's only gonna affect about 3% of the businesses. And one thing I wanted to point out, if you guys have ever seen the Transamerica Tower in San Francisco, you know, the one with the pointy top there, it's one of the buildings that sent out. Well, that Trump is a part owner, one of the owners in that building. So he's really fighting hard against Prop 15, and his followers, whether it's good for them or not, they're gonna side with him, and they're gonna say whatever they can, whatever lies they can, to make you vote no on Prop 15. So we want to make sure that everyone here votes yes on Prop 15. And you know, when you're thinking about these elections coming up, there's so many things to do. One of the most important things to vote all the way down ballot. Just know that in California, we are a Democratic state, and our electoral college is going to go Democrat. So Joe Biden's going to win in that. So you want to go to a race that the popular vote will count, right? So that's every race underneath that, all the way down to city council. So you want to vote on that. But there's so much information out there. How do you know what to vote for, right? So you want to rely on an organization like CARE. We employ several people whose job is this, to research legislation, research propositions, research candidates. So we do all the research for you. We put it in a nice voter guide per each county, and then you know we send it out to you. You could call us, ask us for it. We'd be happy to give that to you, or share the link online. It is on our website, so you go there and you'll know exactly who to vote for. Like I always give the example of if you have a pain in your elbow, right? You're not going to go to your attorney to see what happens, or you're not going to go to the imam and ask them what's wrong with your elbow, right? You're going to ask an expert. You're going to ask your doctor. And if there's more cases, he'll refer you to another doctor. He'll refer you to a specialist, right? So just see that CARE, this is our job. We want to build power in our community, and this is some of the things that we do. So let's move on. So some of the fact-checking sites that I like to use is Duke's Reporter Lab. When I was mentioning MSNBC and CNN, this is one of the things I put their stories through. I don't put every single story through, but some stories that are important, I really do that. There's also a site called Open Secrets. So basically what that is I want to know where a candidate's money comes from, right? Is that money coming from AIPAC? Is that money coming from big pharma or from big oil companies. You know, this Open Secrets will show that. You know, and then there's also FlackCheck I haven't used, but I do use something called PolitiFact, which is the second from last one. That is a really good site as far as determining which candidates you're going to support and who backs them and things like that. Now, there was Snopes. That's probably the most popular one, but it has been tainted over the years, so I don't really use it anymore. You guys probably have your own that you use, but this is some of the stuff that I use that's been working for me. So there's also reliable news sources that I like as well, right? Now, the next slide I'll show you is there's a graphic on these news sources. So I like Democracy Now! Because I'm passionate about politics. I love politics. People think it's boring, but I love campaigns. I love talking to candidates and learning what they're, and I like to follow up with candidates to see if they're going to live up to the promises. But there's also the Associated Press. There's Reuters, Al Jazeera, the Young Turks, love that. And there's Unicorn Riot, who I haven't used, but one of my friends was telling me about this, and I will check it out. And there's also Newsweek. I like Newsweek, but I do put Newsweek more, because it's more mainstream media, so I'll check it out a little bit more through the sources that I gave. One thing I do like is this Empire File. So this is Abby Martin's company. Abby Martin is a journalist who fights for Palestinian rights, especially rights of the people in Gaza. She actually founded this organization. She's a graduate of San Diego State. She founded this organization who reports on the atrocities of what's happening in Gaza. She makes films on that. And one of the things she does is she hires local filmmakers from Gaza who put together a compilation, and then she'll finish it off here in the United States and report on it. It's very fascinating. And I encourage you to take a look at that Empire Files. And she's also on, you could also follow her on Facebook, Abby Martin. So this is the media sources. So it shows the medias that are most reliable all the way to the ones that are least reliable. These are the ones on the right wing. The fascist sites really, that really are spreading, like InfoWars, right? That's the lowest of the low right here. And that's information that's guaranteed to send spread lies and deceit, just to it's there to appeal to their base and also anger the other side. So when you're looking at like CNN, MSNBC, it's not always going to be the most truthful. It's probably going to be more truthful than something like Fox News. But this is also a good graphic, and I sent this to Sheikh Saad so he could actually share it with anyone as well, or you could contact me and I'd be happy to share it. So finally, so I want to conclude by saying the purpose of fake news is to mislead and create confusion. So it's always important to check your source and remember that words have consequences, right? We talked about what happened with Sheikh Alawid, and also most recently with Sheikh Yusuf Hamza, how people were saying that he supports the UAE deal with Israel. And that came out to be false. He came out with a statement saying that's unequivocally false, but it was not before people in our community bashed him for that. So I'll just end with this. Is Surah 49, verse 6, O you who believe, if some transgressor brings you news, verify it carefully before you believe and act upon it, lest you harm a people in ignorance and then become regretful of what you have done. So that's my presentation, and I can open it up for questions.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Mustafa. Alhamdulillah. We appreciate all that. A lot of information there. Different little websites. We should definitely post maybe on our Instagram and our Facebook to alternative to the mainstream media. That was great, actually. I use Open Secrets before. That's very, subhanAllah, to see all the money some of our candidates get, and you wonder why they vote for certain things, subhanAllah. So we have a bunch. We have some questions here that came through. I think Brother Ibrahim, would you like to ask them?
Yeah, so we got some questions. The first one is, what persuasive strategies make fake news seem to be true?
One of the strategies is to keep saying it over and over again until it seems like it's true, you know. And then I always go back to Trump, but this is where it really started, is he'll say, you know, the same thing over and over again. He'll be very angry and create it so that he's actually fighting that they're part of the problem and they're part of the swamp. And what he's trying to do is dispel the swamp. And the only reason that they're challenging him is because they want to hold up the status quo.
Good. I think go ahead, Ibrahim. I got another one.
The second one is, what topics are likely to focus on fake news?
Can you say that again? Sorry.
What topics are likely to be the focus of fake news?
Well, right now the focus is the right now it's the election, right? So the election is the focus of fake news. Like Trump is now saying that Joe Biden is a socialist, right? And he's going to create like all these socialist programs and all this. I'm thinking, alhamdulillah, that's good, but he's not going to do that, unfortunately. So that's one of the focus. Another focus is the census, right? We all know that the census 2020, the deadline is September 30th to be counted, and this only comes back every 30 years. What some of the fake news that's coming out of the on the right side is they're saying that, you know, you have to be a citizen to be able to take the census. And if you do give the census, you know, we're going to sell your information to the Department of Homeland Security or the FBI, and they're going to come and arrest you. So they're trying to create fear in this. Just know that with the census 2020, there's no citizenship question. Everybody, even babies, need to be counted. You know, if they're staying in your house on, or whoever's staying in your house on April 1st, that person needs to be counted. And that's going to create a lot of opportunity and bring money into our communities. And really, it determines what representation we get at the federal level. So right now we're in the, what some people are trying to do is they're trying to not count people or not people, preventing people from being counted so that they lose seats in the Congress. And then that'll level the playing field with the, in California with the Democrats and Republicans.
Can I ask, what is census for some people who don't know?
Sure. So census is, like I said, census is something that comes around every 20 years where every person in the United States, whether they're a citizen or a refugee or a green card holder or undocumented, right? Like a dreamer, every single person is counted. And this determines where there's $800 million of, or $800 billion of federal funds that get distributed depending on the count in a certain community. So they say that each person, once they take the census, that's $10,000 to the community over $20,000 over the community over 10 years. So $2,000 a year per person that'll go to the community.
Another question that we have is, what audiences are likely to believe a fake news story?
People who believe fake news stories are those who are not well-read. You know, they believe whatever they hear. They're gullible. They believe in like conspiracy theories, and they just don't. They have a lack of trust of anything that like the government or anyone else. They just have a lack of trust in any type of authority.
The second to last question is, what makes a topic a good choice for fake news?
For fake news is, well, we see the coronavirus right now, right? It's a great topic because it affects every single person. So the best way for fake news to thrive in this is to create some type of nonsense that it's not as dangerous as getting into a car accident, more people die in a car accident, or even the regular flu or heart disease kills more people and things like that. That's all fake news, because what's happening now is 180,000 people have died in just 6 months, right? And those numbers that you get from car accidents and the regular flu, heart attacks, all that is something that's happened, you know, over a year. So we'll see the number go up, and it's not even flu season yet.
Another question we have is, how do we stop immigrant parents from believing things on WhatsApp?
Can you say that one more time, Ibrahim?
How do we stop immigrant parents from believing things on WhatsApp?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, basically what they're doing is they're getting that information shared by their friends, right? Friends that they grew up with and things like that. And you see in our community that we have a lot of internal racism going on in our community. That's something that we have to dispel. What I would do is I would have them join one of your groups, you know, and ask them to see a different perspective, or even follow you on social media and see, and so they could see what you see.
Another question is, what circumstance would make a fake news story more believable?
Well, one thing that does make a fake news story more believable is usually what happens is they'll say one truth and then they'll follow it up with like 10 lies. So once you see that truth, there's going to be followed up with 10 lies, and it just seems more believable because, oh yeah, this is true, this is what happened. And then this is something, Sheikh, right, that the Prophet Sallallahu talked about, right, that what Shaitan does.
Yeah, the waswasa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Different, giving misgivings and so forth, yeah. Definitely something. One thing, I have another question that was posted here, is that how do we combat, fake news? Like, do we promote these alternative, news sources? You know, then people have questions about that because they're not mainstream, so they can become questionable. You know, how do we kind of decide for what channel we're going to get our news from? You know, is this going to be mainstream? Is it going to be some of the ones that you put there? You know, who should we follow in terms of getting our news, and et cetera?
Yeah, so if you see something that comes up as, and you think it's fake news, or you know that it's fake news, you could check the source and go to the fake news checking site, copy and paste it, and put it right into the comment, and that'll shut that person up pretty quick.
Oh, wow, pretty good. So you personally, what media sources do you use? I know you kind of alluded to some there, like on an everyday basis.
So this is some of the news sources. So I do listen to TYT quite a bit. I don't listen to them much anymore because I was before the lockdown, I was driving a lot, so I was able to listen to it in my car. But right now I read stories on Democracy Now! And also like Al Jazeera. They have a lot of documentaries out there that are pretty fascinating, you know, and they're free right now on YouTube as well. So those three especially. But any type of other news sources, Empire Files has one news source. So if I want to find out about what's going on in Gaza, I'll definitely turn to that. I know Abby personally, and she gives some real information from the ground. But if it's anything like Newsweek on that, I'll definitely check it out and see if it's legit.
What's your opinion on Vice News?
Vice News is also very good.
Mm,
okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. All righty. Alhamdulillah, we appreciate y'all your time. A lot of information there. I know you had to research a lot of that, and it was a bit last minute. So we appreciate that. Alhamdulillah, obviously with CARE doing great work, and may Allah SWT bless all you guys, what you guys are doing. Of course, with the upcoming election, you guys are really busy with different programs and outreach. So we appreciate that. May Allah bless you and your family for coming, and this for all the audience out there. Look forward for programs that we're doing for MYG. Every Friday, inshallah ta'ala, to keep updated on our Facebook and Instagram, the Masjid newsletter, if you're getting that. And also just a little quick note, obviously we're in times right now, today was the 9th day of Muharram, and tomorrow is actually the 10th day, Ashura, and it's definitely a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fast on Ashura. If you fast today, that's good to do the 9th and the 10th. If not, the 10th and the 11th, so Saturday and Sunday. And this is a sunnah fast, but there's some great reward on fasting on the 10th day, that's tomorrow. as the Prophet said, that will expiate, it will take out the minor sins of the previous year. So this is going, you know, obviously we're in this times, even though we're talking about a different topic tonight, but it's good to have this little reminder so we get a nice spiritual benefit also. So once again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you and Brother Mustafa and for sharing his knowledge with us and all on a topic that is very much needed to be expressed. And from the new board here, alhamdulillah, we're happy to have Brother Ibrahim here representing us. And do you want to say something, Brother Ibrahim, before we go?
Yeah, this is our first event, and it looked like it went pretty well. We look forward to doing a lot more events. If you guys have any ideas, any suggestions, any questions, feel free to ask any people on the new board, and feel free to reach out to our socials on MYIG on Instagram and Facebook. You can always ask questions there. And you can always contact the board, Sheikh Shahid Ali, and others.
Barakallahu feek. May Allah bless all of you guys. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to decipher the truth from the false. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and protect us and protect us from this coronavirus. Give us a shifa, give us a cure for it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman and taqwa. Subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Barakallahu feekum, Brother Mustafa. Take care. Hopefully, inshallah, we'll have you for another program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.
Barakallahu feekum. Take care. Assalamu alaikum.